Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. The Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. Interesting selection. I don't tell Jeremy or suggest anything that he sings, but that's interesting because we're going to talk about Jesus in Calvary today. I'll talk about Jesus. I just want to preach about Jesus for the next couple weeks, maybe next couple months. Hopefully I preach about Jesus every Sunday, but specifically about Jesus and some of the things that he said and some of the things that he suffered through. John chapter 8, verse 31 through 36, here's Jesus being confronted by the Pharisees and the religious rulers of that day. It says, Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall make us free, or ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. And if the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Free indeed. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, Father God, we want to be free indeed. But the only way we can be free indeed is if we continue in thy word. We must continue in the word of God. Father God, we ask right now that you would just give us strength. Give us ears to listen so that we shall know the truth and be made free. Father God, thank you for everything you've sang and prayed about today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Interesting, when you read, get a chance to read the Gospel of John, chapter 8. This is a chapter that starts off with the woman being caught in adultery, and they set her up and brought her there and put her before Jesus. And they was trying to find some fault with him, find some error in his teaching. Because any error, any fault that they could find in him would disqualify him from dying for our sins. And they was trying through the work of Satan to disqualify Jesus from going to Calvary. Because he was going to go to Calvary. Nothing was going to stop him from going to Calvary. But if he would have had sin, he would have died just like the other two thieves with sin on him, and he couldn't save us. So now he's confronting them, and we get to the verse 31. Now this is interesting. It says, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him." Okay? And he's talking to believers. He's talking to the Jews that believed on him, but the answer he gets is from those that don't believe. How about that? And I'm just going to skip down. I'm going to go back to verse 31 because that's where we're going to pick up our main thought. But he's saying to the Jews that believed on him, "If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." Now watch who answers. "And they answered him, 'But we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free?'" Well, the first way you can be made free of anything is to admit that you need to be made free, to accept the fact that I'm in bondage to something. Okay? You can't get God's forgiveness without admitting that you need it. Let me say that again. God can't forgive you if you don't have nothing that you need to be forgiven of. God can't deliver you from anything if you don't acknowledge, "Hey, look, this thing got me. I need your help." Most of us say, "Well, I can handle this myself." And we go on struggling with different things because we're trying to handle it ourselves. Let me go right to the point of the lesson. Verse number 31, Jesus says to his disciples, he said to people who believe on him, what do they believe? They believe John 3:16. Y'all knew it was coming. They believe John 3:16. They believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. That Jesus Christ died for our sins and rose from the grave. They believe that Jesus, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That's what they believe. And what Jesus was saying to them in verse 31, he said, if you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed. There's a whole, churches are full of folks, okay, that don't believe. Mm-hmm. Okay? We can sit there and agree with that. But Jesus is saying, you got to believe my word. He says to continue to believe in my word. That word continue is strong. Okay? That word continue, and when we look at the different definitions of it, it means to persist. Okay? It means to persist. It means there's a relentless, uninterrupted, persistent, steady desire for the things of God. I just don't like people that sit here and got this haphazard faith. It's wobbly, it's shaking, the wheels are getting ready to fall off. And to continue in God's word takes effort. It takes strength. It takes power. And that power has to come from outside of you. You weren't born with it. I heard the text read, you must be born again. You get the strength to follow the Lord. Everybody don't have it. Some folks need it. Some folks have a little more than others. But to continue in anything, again, takes work. Let me give you an illustration right out of the dictionary. It says, we continued until the job was finished. One definition. How? You got a job to do. What's our job as Christians? Serve the Lord till we die. Okay? Bible says, he who what? Endures to the end shall be saved. That way, in the middle of the race, nobody say, well, you know, he's saved. The main proof is you're going to serve him with the last breath. The last breath you take will be one where you were serving the Lord. How about that? Jesus, the Bible said, was steadfast. He was steadfast. Okay? Firmly fixed in place. Unmovable. Boy, we move so much. This world moves us around, pushes us around. This world bullies our faith. This world bullies our affections, bullies our desire to serve God. The world just bullies us. Said it this morning, busy, 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 busy. Being under Satan's yoke, B-U-S-Y. We so busy. And the world loves to see busy Christians. Mm-hmm. Know why? Because you get so busy, guess what you can't do? Can't serve. Can't pray. Can't read the daily crumb. Some folks so busy can't read daily bread. There's just being a little verse in the paper. In the Vindicator, there's a little verse every day. There's a little verse. One verse, they have it there. But some of us don't have time to read one verse. And you know what Satan does? Know why? No scripture, no word, no prayer. No fellowship, no communion, no fellowship, no what? No power. No power. No power. And we can walk around dressed all up and look nice on the outside and be like that tree. Jesus walked by that tree. He walked by a tree that was full of leaves, beautiful tree. And Jesus went to get some fruit off of it. And guess what wasn't there? Fruit. Wasn't no fruit there. Cursed that tree. Some of us are beautiful on the outside. Jesus was our example. And I'm going to get to continue in his word. But when we look at our Savior and what he went through And then we look at our reasons why we don't continue, why we don't press on. Paul said, I press toward the mark of the high calling of God. I press, I press, I press. Y'all hear me say it all the time. This is a press way. It's a press way. It's a press way. And people sit here and say, well, you know, I hear it. I talk to other ministers. I talk to other clergy in town. You know, you take a day off, take a vacation, take a Wednesday off, get somebody. Listen, listen. I don't have that. Okay? I don't have that. I don't have the option to do that. Okay? Even if I was to have someone preach on Sunday, I'm probably going to be here. Because this is where I'm supposed to be. What God called me to do. And people say, how do you do it? How do you do it? Well, I know what my Savior did. Okay? I know what my Savior did. And I know what he went through. And believe me, we all going through and we all suffer. Okay? I heard them preach singing a song about Gethsemane today. Let's not forget. Remember his agony? Let me read it. That's why I say he sang the song. But let me read it. Here's Jesus, and he's in the Garden of Gethsemane. And this is what he says in Luke 22 and 42. He says, saying, Father, if thou be willing to remove this cup from me, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Strengthening him. This was a huge task for the Savior. And being in agony. How about that? Here's our Lord and Savior in agony. Compare your agony to his. Some people say, oh, I'm in agony. Oh, I'm living in hell. This world's a living hell. I hear people say crazy stuff like that all the time. I hear it. And their problems is the car wouldn't start. Or they went to work and the boss told them, you know, we don't need you. Go home in a couple hours. And that's agony to them. That's agony to them, you know. They went to the mall the other day and was Build-A-Bear. And they was in the line for 6 hours. And this is agony. I didn't get my Build-A-Bear. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. How about that? I wonder how many people was in that line out of Southern Park Mall getting their Build-A-Bear and was praying in agony. He was in agony and he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. How about that? Anybody ever pray like that? Well, you know, people in church did me wrong, and the preacher did me wrong, and the choir director did me wrong, wouldn't let me sing, and all kind of stuff. I hear. Let me tell y'all something. Jesus was betrayed by all his boys. Okay? Well, next time you think about somebody that did you wrong, that's your reason not coming to church? Because something I said, or something the deacon said, or something the minister said, or something was said to you? Listen, Peter denied him. 3 times. Peter denied him. Judas. Let me read this. I just like to read some scripture. Here's Judas in Mark 14 and 43. Now watch this. And I sort of dissected because there's something big jumped out at me. And I hope it jumped out at you. And it says in Mark 14, 43, it says, immediately while he yet spoke. Now they're coming to arrest him. Judas then sold him out for 30 shekels. It said, while he yet spake, he's preaching, come at Judas. Watch this now. One of the 12. Why is that in there? One of the 12. One of the 12 people that he trusted the most. Okay? One of the 12 people that he invested in his whole 3.5 years walking on this earth. One of the 12, and with a great multitude of swords and staves. This dude's coming. Judas is coming. One of the 12, and he's being followed with folks with swords and staves, getting ready to take Jesus out if they had to. Verse 44, watch this now. And he that betrayed him had given them a token, saying, whosoever I kiss, that saying is he, take him and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goes straightway to him and say, Master, master and kissed him. How about that? How about that? How about that? And not long after that, it says in Mark 14, 50, and they all forsook him and fled, all his 12. So the next time you want to use that and say, well, you know, people in the church said some bad things to me, and they don't talk to me, whatever, they didn't call me when I was sick, and they didn't send me no cookies, or whatever. Remember who you're following. You're following, he's a suffering Savior. He's a suffering servant. When the prodigal son came running to Jesus, he said, go sell all you have, come follow me. That prodigal son knew exactly what that meant. There was no question about what it meant. Okay? I'm going to the cross, and I'm going to suffer on my way, and everybody that follow me is going to suffer too. See? And in the carnival church, packages all up that when you come to church, you're going to have a good time, you're going to have a good time following Jesus. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. You're not going to have a good time following Jesus in this world. Okay? And again, you may have a bad time. Okay? But remember this. This world is not... Somebody finish that. Our home. Okay? And you're not going to be happy, happy, happy all the time. You're not. Because you're going to serve God. And you know what people don't want to hear about? God. Okay? They don't want anybody to hear about Jesus. Okay? They're not playing Amazing Grace at the malls. You go to Applebee's and the music in the background, they're not playing Blessed Assurance. You're not hearing nothing about Jesus anywhere you go. Okay? You turn it on and folks going to write a letter to the owner. Harley can tell a customer, God bless you, after shopping at Walmart. Because folks don't want to hear about Jesus. Why? Because they know Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Think about his scourging. I just picked up some of these verses, and I'm going to get to my point in a minute. But I just want you to know who he followed and what he went through for you. I like this one in John 19. Now, here's Jesus with Pilate. Pilate won't let him go. Talked to you last week about it. I find no fault in this man. I've tested him. I've tried him. I've questioned him. I find no fault in this man. And he could have tested him. He could have judged him. He could have critiqued him. He could have examined him 150 more times. And guess what he wouldn't have found? No fault in this man. No fault in this man. Why? Because this man came to die for us. And if there was any fault in him, he couldn't have died for us. And Pilate said, there's no fault in him. Watch this now. Before he crucified Jesus, he was still trying to get Jesus off the hook. He was still trying to do what he couldn't do. He was trying to do what he couldn't do. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to this earth to die for our sins. Pilate couldn't save him. John 19, 1, and then Pilate took Jesus and scourged him. Now, some of you have seen the Passion of the Christ. It was bloody and gory, whole lot of errors, but it is what is Hollywood, okay? And the scourging part probably was the most truthful part of the whole movie. And they beat him to smithereens, as we used to say, and the blood and gore, and they scourged him. The Bible says they scourged, they whipped him till he was unrecognizable. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put him on a purple robe. This is just to mock him. These are godless, unbelieving Roman soldiers. And then said, "Hail, King of the Jews," and they smote him with their hands. Okay? Smote me, and they beat him. Okay? Punching him in his face. Yeah. They didn't have boxing gloves on. Pilate therefore went forth again, verse 4, and said unto them, "Behold, I bring him forth to you, that you may know that I find no fault in him." I'm just going to beat him to smithereens just to hopefully pacify y'all's thirst for death. And then came Jesus forth. I like this here. This is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know, we got this picture of Jesus. And I think this is what's running everybody from the church. We got this picture of this little milquetoast, weak, broke down Jesus that can't defend himself and nothing. I just look at this verse here in verse number 5. And it says, and then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said unto him, behold the man. I don't think he was standing there broke down. I believe he was standing there just as strong and full of power. Full of power. And they looked at him and said, what kind of man is this? I think they said the same thing about him when he made the wind cease and the waves. What kind of man is this? He took all that and look at him standing there. That's me. So, you know, the Catholic visionaries had what they saw. I'm this Baptist visionary. I'm just seeing what I see. I see Jesus as a son of God. I don't see no weakness in him. Amen. I don't see no weakness in him. Okay? You can't do what he did and be weak. You can't go to Calvary and be weak. You can't die for the sins of the world and be weak. Don't let the world fool you. And making us believe our God is weak. Our God and our Lord and Savior is milquetoast and weak. He is a man. He was powerful. He was powerful. But that was Jesus. Somebody say, well, that was Jesus. What about us? How can we continue? How can we continue? I'm going to show you how you continue. Because Jesus told you how you continue. Because some of us going through right now. Some of us having a hard time right now continuing. Some of us want to quit. Some of us has quit. And listen, you can come to church and still be a quitter.
Amen.
Okay? Church is full of quitters. Folks that come to church, and they just come, and selectively. Okay? Well, you know, it's been 4 weeks and a month, 2 months, I better go to church, show up. Okay. It is what it is. You got to answer for that. Because if God saved you, And washed all your sins away and made you a new creation in Christ Jesus. And nobody got to beg you to come to church. And anybody got to twist your arm to come to church. And anybody got to twist your arm to give. And I see these preachers begging, begging, begging. Listen, you ain't got to beg nobody. It's been truly delivered.
Amen.
Okay? And you know, you be like Moses trying to get them to stop giving. We got enough. See, this is why I know there's a few. Just a few. I say this because the Bible said, and I can stand on it. The man asked Jesus, are there few to be saved? He knew. He was looking at the church and he said, are there few to be saved? And you can go over to the happening church where they hopping around, dancing around. I was talking to somebody this week, and they said, "Well, you know, you gotta get to the kids. You gotta reach the kids. You gotta do stuff for the kids." Let me tell you something. I done read that Bible. I don't see youth ministry in there at all.
Amen.
I don't see anything in the Bible about, well, you gotta reach the kids. I don't know. I don't think Daniel went to children's church. Okay? I don't think Daniel and the three Hebrew boys went to children's church. They sat with their parents and they heard the word of God, and what they didn't understand, their parents would explain to them. Dad, what does that mean? What did he say? What do you mean by that? And then it makes the parents dig. Make the parents dig. And bring your children. If you got some questions. They get enough Barney. Okay? And I told them, Barney, I don't even know if they play Barney anymore, but they got all kind of stuff. They ask you enough questions about that. And then, Mommy, Daddy, what does it mean to be saved? That man always talking about I need to be saved. What's that mean? The word of God says we always should have an answer for the hope that's in us. And if you don't know, then you got to ask somebody. What's it mean to be saved? Mom, what's it mean to be saved? Why do I need to be saved? Because you're a sinner. Because you was born in sin. And you need to be saved. Jesus said this. John 8:31. Now, this is our verse. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him. How about that? Which believed on him. What's it mean to believe? See? All these huge big words come out, and we sit here, we just think everybody understands. What's it mean to believe? You trust and you have faith in the fact that Jesus said that he is truly God's son who came here on earth to die for our sins. He was born of a virgin, lived 33 years without committing sin. He was crucified. He was buried, rose on the third day. That ain't easy to believe. Amen. Everybody don't believe that. There's folks sitting here now don't believe that. Well, you know, I believe he was crucified, but I don't believe he rose from the grave. See, you miss any of that, you disqualified.
Amen.
You got to believe all that.
Amen.
Well, I can't believe all that. I can't neither. I couldn't. How do I believe all that? You got to ask God to give you the faith to believe. God, give me the faith to believe. I hear it. Give me faith to believe. Word of God says, for by grace are you saved. Through faith. Through faith. He says, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples. What's it mean to continue in his word? To keep believing. Take the word of God at face value. There's a whole lot of folks that don't believe. Mm-hmm. That teach. When I sit here and we got ministries now led by LGBT women preachers, and the word of God says, well, a woman should be a preacher. Well, I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I'm not talking about me, but that's what the woman said to me. I said, what are you going to do? Well, I said, a preacher ought to be the husband of one wife. How you going to get around that?
Amen.
Well, I know what I felt. It's not about what you felt.
That's right.
Well, I know what I experienced. I wrote by a church the other day, come and experience God. Listen, it's not experience. It's not experience. Okay? You're not here for an experience.
That's right.
Okay? You're here to hear the truth. And the truth is not an experiment or an experience. Oh, I felt, I was at church, and it's all you hear. That's all you hear from folks. Oh, I felt it. I felt the Holy Ghost come and hit me. Bam. And that ain't nowhere in the Bible, people. I'm going to tell you something. You start talking to your folks, your charismatic friends, your Pentecostal friends, and that's all they want to talk about, experiences. You need to know the truth. And the truth will. That's what the text says.
Amen.
Okay? If the Son therefore make you free, you shall be
free indeed.
You don't come to church for an experience.
Amen.
Okay? Maybe you go to the movie for experience. Maybe you go to an Indians game for, I watched Frankie Lindor made a play at shortstop, took the ball and threw it behind his back. Oh, that was great. Okay, you don't come to church for that.
Amen.
You come to church, hear the word of God. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Indeed. Okay, without a doubt. And once someone starts veering off from the word of God, guess what? What they're showing you is, I'm truly not a follower of Christ.
Amen.
Oh, we don't like hearing that. Okay? Listen to what John had to come to a church, and this was going on in the church. This was going on in the church, and John had to come to the church. Age John, he probably was in his 90s by now. Okay, he didn't got out of the island of Patmos. Now he's going back, and he's trying to help these churches. And he comes to this church, and 1 John 2:18 said, little children, it is the last time, and you have heard that an antichrist shall come. Even now are there many antichrists whereby we know that it is the last day. Let me tell you something, folks. If your eyes ain't open to the fact that there's a whole lot of antichrists out there. There's a lot of antichrists out there. What's an antichrist? Someone who don't believe in Christ. Someone who's against Christ. Someone who's against the things of God. Someone who's going to take prayer out of the schools. Okay? Someone that believes it's okay to murder children.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, hop up in arm. We got to kill these babies. We got to murder them. Uh-huh. And I hear people say, oh, I love kids.
Uh-huh.
Antichrist. Now watch what the Antichrist do. Watch this now. Stay with me. And the Bible says, and they went out from us. They're not going to sit under the word of God. They're not going to sit in a church where God's word is being preached. They went out from us. Why? But they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest. What? That they were not of us. You know what the Antichrist preachers say? Well, there ain't nothing wrong with two men getting married. Ain't nothing wrong with two women getting married. Okay? There ain't nothing wrong with that. You know you talk to the Antichrist?
Amen.
Why? Because he said, if you continue in my word, what's God's word say? Okay? One man, one wife. Man and wife, procreate. Okay? Me and Jeremy, as much as I love him, we can't make no babies.
Oh, man.
We both wearing red and everything. Y'all, but you understand what I'm saying? I make light of it, but that's what it means to continue in God's word. When the church say, okay, we cool with homosexuality, we cool with the LGBT, we need their money.
Exactly.
Then they're not continuing with their word, and nobody want to preach it. Because we don't want nobody to leave. We don't want all the lesbians and all the homosexuals to be mad.
Uh-huh.
And T.D. Jakes ain't saying nothing. Uh-huh. And Joel Osteen ain't saying nothing. Well, nothing. Stay with the word.
Yep.
Jesus gave him the word in John 6. Jesus gave the word in John 6. Listen. John 6 and 66. Three sixes. This is kind of strange to me, but I'm going to read it anyway. Okay? For that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Probably because he preaching like this. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. And then said Jesus unto the 12. This is what I was talking about. Prophet Sylvia was all in my message this morning. Okay. And then said Jesus unto the 12. Will ye also go away? Why? Because it got tough. The word got tough. He was saying, if you're going to follow me, it's going to cost you something. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to give up some stuff. If you're going to follow me, you're going to have to live a certain way. You're going to have to act a certain way, walk a certain way, and talk a certain way. It's all going to come when you receive the Spirit of God. And some folks say, I don't want to hear receive the Spirit of God if it's going to do all that to me, because I like some of the things I do. I like some of the sins I'm in.
Uh-huh.
I don't want you cleaning me up. Remember the lunatic from Gadara, and Jesus was in town, and he could have saved the whole town. And they told him, get up out of here. You ain't closing down all the casinos and all the beer gardens and everything. And we like going to the movies and stuff. We like all that porn on the internet. You come around, Jesus, you're going to clean up my life. I got some stuff I like to do. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Watch this now. And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. They knew that. Guess what Peter knew? Guess what Peter and these disciples knew? That they needed to continue in the word of God, and they was walking with the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word became flesh.
Amen.
And Jesus answered them, have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. How about that?
Yeah.
How about that? Continue in my word. Continue in my love. Somebody say, well, you're not loving. I'm as loving. I am the most loving pastor in this town. Okay? And somebody said, I beg to differ. Let me tell you something. Listen. Truth is love. No matter how you slice it.
Amen.
And people say, I don't want to hear the truth. You go to a doctor. I'll tell you a story. You go to the doctor. And you got pain in your side. And the doctor do MRI and everything, look at the test results, say, oh, Lord have mercy, this dude got cancer, and it's all over his body. And he comes out of the, he's come out and say, you know, he's smiling and everything, there's nothing wrong with you. You're fine. Have a nice day. Test results were negative. I didn't see nothing. Now, the doctor may think he's loving you, showing you some love. He's not showing you no love. He's not showing you no love because he hides the truth from you. The doctor that comes out and says, look, we got to get right at this thing. You got a mess going on, but we're going to do everything we can to save you. That's the doctor that loves you. And the preacher that come out and say, well, you know, it's okay. You can die in your sins and everybody's going to heaven. It don't matter how you live. It don't matter you shacking up and you living over here and you doing this and you drinking and you drugs and it don't matter. Listen. Jesus loves you. Yeah, there you go. And hell ain't a real place anyway. It's like Disney World. Nobody's going to hell. It's closed. It's closed down years ago. See, and folks congregate to that kind of stuff. And they say, well, at the very least, you'll go to purgatory and your family can pray you out. It's a lie.
Amen.
That's not love.
That's right.
And I love you guys. Okay? When I stop loving you guys, I start telling y'all, you know, I need more money. I need more money. Have me a pastor anniversary, and I don't want it at the Mahoney County Country Club. I want it at Avalon. Okay, and I want everybody to wear white, and I want gold. Yeah, see all kind of stuff like that. Bible says, if you're gonna continue in my love, continue in the grace of God. What is the grace of God? Grace is favor. Grace is favor. Show God's love as you walk this earth. Oh, Pastor, you on that again? No, show God's love. Watch this. That's all Paul did. I'm going to go from Jesus to Paul. You know, I do this all the time. Here's Acts 13:43. Now watch Paul. Here's Paul. He's getting ready to leave. He's getting ready to go to Rome. Getting ready to be separated from these folks. What did he do? Watch this now. He said, now when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, watch this, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. Continue in the grace of God. What's he talking about? How's anybody saved? By grace. To continue in the grace of God means to always remember that you're saved. Always remember, no matter where you're at, what you're doing, where you go, remember what God has done for you. Stay in that. And if you live in the grace of God, you're going to live different. You're going to be constantly reminded of how good God was to save you. How wonderful it is to be saved. Okay?
Amen.
How wonderful it is to be saved. Paul writing to the Romans, popular. You guys will be reminded of this. Paul says this. For us to sometimes forget where we came from. And sometimes we get saved and we forget where we came from. Look what Paul says. For all have sinned. Romans 3:23. How about that? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Being, now he's talking about how we were saved. Being justified freely by his grace. Through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Grace, redemption, all found in Jesus Christ. What is redemption? The fact that Jesus died for you. Saved you by his death. Now watch this now. Whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. Faith in his blood. You believe? Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Shed his blood on Calvary to save our souls. That's what Paul's talking about. Don't forget that. All of us in here that are saved have accepted the fact that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And so many people, you ask them, you talk to them, what's it mean to be saved? How did you get saved? And you get a song and a dance. There's only one way you can be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay? You hear it all the time, being justified freely by grace through the redemption that's in Jesus Christ. In the Bible, being gentle. Redemption means through the blood. Redeem. How? By the blood. Peter calls it the precious blood of Christ. It's precious. It's got to be precious to you. If you saved, it's precious because you know what you were into. And if you're saved and it's not precious, if you claim to be saved and Jesus Christ is not precious to you, K Continue. Persist. Be determined. One verse here. I'll get out of Acts 14:22. Here's Paul again. Paul constantly, by his life, prodded the people, exhorted the people to stay the course. Stay the course. It's going to be rough. How many in here? Some folks raise two hands. This is rough. Okay? Amen. This rough. Okay? We going uphill. Okay? It's always harder going uphill. You ride a bike and you walk in. It's always harder going uphill. You go to the gym. Ain't nobody got them treadmills tilted up high. Okay? Most of them got them flat. You know? If they could go down, they would go down. It's easier going down than it is going up. See? See? Let me say that again. It's easier going down than it is going up. You be out bike riding and you look at the terrain that you're traveling, and when you see that hill, you know what's up. It's gonna take a little more work to get up that hill than it is you when you get to the top of it. It's easy. I remember going to Cedar Point years ago, taking my daughter on the Blue Streak. It was a nightmare for her. I thought it was interesting. And it was just took us forever to get to the top. It just took us forever. Tick, 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 tick. Probably took us 5 minutes to get to the top. Tick, tick, tick. And she was over there just, it was too late. I'm sorry. It was too late. She was hysterical by the time we got to the top. And I'm sitting here like, I thought it was funny. But, you know, she didn't. She never been back to Cedar Point. And, she never got on a roller coaster again. And I mean, we tick, 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 tick. It was 5 minutes. And then we got to the top and it just stopped. And I don't know why it just stopped. I know it was something about it. It just stopped just to terrify you even more. And then how long did it take you to get down that hill? It took you 5 minutes to get up it. Not even a minute, probably 30 seconds. And then they taking pictures and I hope you still got them pictures. Poor baby. But that's life. And God and Paul saying that getting to heaven is not easy, and no way you can tell an antichrist or a false teacher, because they constantly telling you it's easy.
Amen.
You know they lying. You gotta say, you lying, dude. It's not easy going to heaven. And when we sit here and sell it, and we sell it, and I'm not gonna sell it. Okay? Why? Because the word of God says it's not easy. Here's what Paul said, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. That word continue means persist and be determined. Why? It says, it's the word of God, not me, and that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Anything easy? That sound easy to any of you. So when you're going through, and you're going through for the right reason, you're going through because of your walk, or because of your faith, because of your relationship with God, understand, through much tribulation is the only way to heaven. So when your wife gets upset with you because of your relationship with the Lord, or your husband gets upset with you because of your relationship with the Lord, or your kids don't want to be bothered with you because all you want to talk about is Jesus, and you don't drink with them and party with them and cuss with them no more, understand, it is by much tribulation. And that tribulation usually starts in the family. In the family. So when my kids don't want to bother me, my wife says, I don't want to bother, I don't want to go to church. Not my wife, but your coworkers don't want to bother with you. It's just what I'm talking about. Okay? But if you want to be a chameleon, and you want to walk around, and you want everybody to love you, and everybody to accept you, and everybody to be your buddy, you can't serve God. It's going to cost you. It's going to cost you.
Amen.
Okay? Paul went through it, and he's telling these folks to continue in the faith. And I say this to the faithful few. Continue in the faith. You look around, and folks that used to sit with you in church, no longer sit with you in church. Well, I don't know what's going on. Continue in the faith. Stay the course. The reward is great. The reward is great. The reward is great. Well, I'm gonna let y'all go. gonna let y'all go. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I always say that. And I have that I have to give you one more. One more. How about that? I got a bunch of them. One more. One more. See if you get this out of this verse. Acts 2:42. Four things. Four things that we ought to be doing as believers. Four things that, now I'm going to put it this way. Four things that believers must do. You want to take a litmus test? You want to find out where you at in the Lord? See if you see how you pass these four. Test your faith. Okay? Here's Acts 2:42. Four things that you're going to see in this verse. Hearing the word, having all things in common, receiving the Lord's Supper, and prayer. Okay? And having all things in common, meaning that you give to your ministry that feeds you. Okay? All four of those are found in Acts 2:42. Watch that. And they continued steadfastly in apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. Four things. You ask yourself, if I'm a believer, if I'm truly a child of God, I'm going to be in a place where I'm hearing the word of God. You don't have to be here. Go on your porch. You can wake up before the kids wake up. Wake up a half hour, 45 minutes before you go to work. Find some time to get in that word. Hear from God. Having all things in common. Understanding when I come to this church. Okay. It's pretty warm in here today, but the air works. Grass is cut. Water's cold. Bathrooms work. Toilets work. You can go to some churches and toilets don't work. Okay. I've been to churches where they got bags on the toilets. And you go to your people's houses and they live in palaces. And don't do nothing for the church. Receive the Lord's Supper. First of the month. First of the month. I believe it's the most important Sunday of the year. First of the month. Why? Because we come together as a church. As a family, and we commune together. It's symbolic, yeah, symbolic of us coming together and having a meal together in remembrance of what Christ did. And some folks say, well, you know, I ain't going to communion service because I got somewhere to go, and that one run too long. Whew. Prayer. We talked about it this morning, and the woman, the widow, was praying. Her prayers were persistent. And at the end, Jesus says, when I come back, will there be few faith-filled individuals? Well, my job as pastor is to preach the word of God. Amen. Preach the word of God. Not my own life, not my own story. I ain't up here to preach politics. I'm not up here to preach social agendas and none of that.
Amen.
Okay? I might touch it here, touch it there, but I ain't going to sit here and tell you who to vote for, who not to vote for. I'm not going to tell you what position you ought to take on anything. I'm going to do like Paul said. I'm going to preach Christ, Him crucified.
Amen.
Okay? Okay. And you need to be here hearing the word of God because it's going to make you strong. I hope some folks in here, somebody say, well, I'm stronger today than I was before I came. Now that I know that I'm supposed to go through some stuff. We were sitting on Wednesday night, Sydney and I. Been married 35 years. Yeah, make it 40. Let's round it off to the nearest zero. So we make it 40. Okay. We've been through some stuff.
Amen.
All right? We've been through some stuff. Cindy, it took me through some stuff. Who said there we go? Okay. I'm turning this off. So, you know, but we up here, I tell you. So we up here.
Amen.
That thing we went through when Sydney was really bad. It's up. It's like this high. So what? So now stuff that happens in our marriage, it's just like this. See? It ain't going up there. So we still going through. We still got stuff we dealing with all the time and as a married couple.
Amen.
Okay? But we didn't. Say that? Life.